stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Getting Started with WebSphere conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Kevin Larson. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you. Greetings, everyone. Thanks again for joining. Welcome to the Getting Started with WebSphere weekly series of telecons. I'm Kevin Larson again. I'm the WebSphere for iSeries Business Development Manager. This is session number 3 in the Getting Started series. The first couple of sessions were your prep sessions, if you will, talking about i5OS v5R3, and then WebSphere Application Server Express, which is included at no additional charge with i5OS v5R3. As they form the infrastructure or the foundation for web applications, today we start talking about applications that you can deploy to WebSphere Application Server Express and i5OS v5R3. Linda Hirsch, who is on our iSeries Access development team, is going to talk to you today about iSeries Access for Web, a component of the iSeries Access family that deploys to WebSphere Application Server Express and provides browser-based access to your iSeries resources, including your database, integrated file system, printer output, and more. So, Linda, take it away.
Great. Thank you very much, Kevin. As Kevin said, I work in iSeries Access development. I'd like to thank Kevin and the iSeries Nation for the opportunity to talk today about iSeries Access for Web. If you look at the charts that are available with this presentation on the front page, I wanted to point out my email address, llhirsch@us.ibm.com. Feel free to contact me with any questions, any follow-up information. If you ever have questions about iSeries Access products, I also wanted to point out that on the website where you received these charts today, I also have a lab handout. I'm going to refer to that a couple of times in the presentation today. It has step-by-step instructions. If you take the lab and once you have the software installed on your system, how to get up and running with iSeries Access for Web on WASP Express version 5.1, I'm going to refer to those. And also on the front page, I have the URL where our product website, where we have the latest technical information, the latest product details, like our announcement about our WASP version 6 support that I just put out there yesterday. So I'll refer to that too in the presentation today. On page 2, our agenda, what is iSeries Access for Web? Why should you use it? What are the requirements? The example we'll look at today to get up and running is V5R3 iSeries Access for Web with WASP Express version 5.1. So let's get started. I have a lot of charts, and we're going to keep moving. On page 3, what is iSeries Access for Web? You are familiar with our iSeries Access family products today, also known as Client Access. Many of you already use Client Access Express, we now call iSeries Access for Windows. And we have a tradition in this family for working with important functions and accessing resources on the server. iSeries Access for Web is the browser-based access to iSeries resources. We provide a 5250 emulator with this product. I'll show you a couple of charts what that looks like. But we also provide our own interface that we wrote to access database, the IFS, printers and printer output, jobs, and some of those types of important iSeries functions. It is all server-based. It runs entirely in servlets, no client application, no applets, no client code at all is running. So it's entirely running on the server. You access it with the browser. Any client platform, it's not dependent on your desktop hardware or operating system. It is the same interface for all browsers. On page number 4, why would you use it? If you're tired of PC administration, you want to get away from client administration and just set this up, get it up and running once on your server. If you have remote users, someone traveling or someone at home and they need to access the server and they don't have the PC software that they need installed on the PC that's sitting in front of them, or they don't even have a PC, they have a Linux desktop or something else, then maybe they can get at the iSeries resources without having iSeries Access for Windows installed. So a simple solution that you can set up in a couple of hours with once you have your software installed. If we look at chart 5, just another comparison, looking at the advantages of iSeries Access for Web, these are firewall considerations. If you have users that are getting at the server from the Internet today, you are familiar probably with these firewall considerations. If you use iSeries Access for Windows, I have listed the ports that you would need to open in order to get at the specific functions. And down on the lower right, I have the information APAR listed there in case you're not familiar with what those ports are. We list these in the information APAR. But iSeries Access for Web on the right talk about how if you're using HTTP, we just open one port. Port 80 is the default, or you specify any port. If you're using, configure your HTTP server for using secure sockets, then you would, the default is port 443, or you can specify any port. So since it's all running on the server, one port open. On page 6, whereas our iSeries Access for Windows product is fully integrated with the Windows desktop, when you right-click on an item, you get a pop-up menu for that item. The idea with iSeries Access for Web is that it's fully integrated with the browser. It looks and feels like a browser application. It integrates with your code page and keyboard and font choices that you have made for your browser. On page 7, we have a section here about how do you get it, packaging and ordering. If we move to page 8, on the left column, V5R3 iSeries Access family, we talked about iSeries Access for Windows. iSeries Access for Web with the green arrow is the one we're talking about today. HATS Limited Edition is another browser emulator that's available with the iSeries Access family. Check our website if you want more information on that product. iSeries Access for Linux provides access to iSeries resources from Linux, from either an Intel or Linux partition type scenario. 5250 emulator is provided as well as an ODBC driver. I wanted to point out also in the lower right on this table, if you want to keep your operating system at V5R2 and you'd like to order the V5R3 iSeries Access family products, just order the refresh feature that I have listed there. You order a no-charge refresh for the iSeries Access family. If you're a software maintenance customer, then you can get this at no charge. If we move to page 9, again, another look at the packaging. I have the green arrow to talk about iSeries Access for Web is the one we're focusing on today. And in the third column, I talk about the product order number, what you have to order in order to get these products. iSeries Access for Web comes with a family. And then in the last column, does the function require user licenses for iSeries Access family? You know, I mentioned in the second row, iSeries Access for Windows, we talk about how the 5250 emulation and data transfer functions use iSeries Access family licenses. Those are available user-based or processor-based, as you're already familiar with. So the iSeries Access for Web, you don't have to order a separate product for it. It comes with iSeries Access family, and you need to purchase licenses for iSeries Access family in order to use the functions in iSeries Access for Web. Page 10 is one of two pages that I have on software requirements. These are the requirements for V5R3 iSeries Access for Web and WAS Express 5.1, our example today. And the third entry has a highlighted row, OS 400 AFP compatibility fonts, and I highlighted that because some customers aren't aware that you need that option. It's not always installed for working with PDF output, which I have a couple of charts to show you what that looks like. But I think the point on this, these software requirements, these products are the same no matter what web application server that you're using. Towards the bottom, I have developer kit for Java. Which version of that you need exactly depends on which web application server that you choose. But all of these are no charge. You'll notice in the last column, they're either part of i5OS or OS 400, or they can be ordered no charge. So then on page 11, I have the iSeries Access family. iSeries Access for Web is part of the family, not separately purchased. I list the IBM InfoPrint server that is an optional product. There is a charge associated with that product. If you're not familiar with it, it converts spool files to PDF format. This is optional. It enables the best PDF output support. It also enables some of the new V5R3 PDF functions that we have provided in iSeries Access for Web. So it is required for some of those PDF functions. And then the last row has WebSphere Application Server version 5.1, because that's our example. In a couple of charts, I'll show you some of the other web application servers that iSeries Access for Web supports. On page 12, we have a list of the browsers that we have tested with for V5R3 iSeries Access for Web. We imagine that other browsers that support standard HTTP, HTML will work, but these are the ones that we've tested with. So on page 13, we've looked at a little bit about what the product is and how you get it and the software requirements. So we're going to take a look at some of the install and configuration steps. How do you get it installed and deployed? On page 14, these six steps, we're going to look at each step. Step number one, choose your web application server. I wanted to point out here on this chart, I have these six steps listed here, and you'll notice if you get the opportunity to download the lab handout and try it, it takes you through step by step 4, 5, and 6. I actually have the information about the prerequisites and the PTFs information that you need in steps 1, 2, 3 in an appendix in the lab handout, and then it actually takes you through setting up with WAS Express version 5.1, steps 4, 5, and 6. Let's go to page 15. A quick review of the web application serving environment. We look at it. If you were joined Anna Sue's presentation last week, she also talked about the multi-tiered or multi-layered environment, a web browser accessing this web serving environment that includes an HTTP server, an application server where the web application is installed and deployed, and it's accessing applications, data, resources on the server in the third tier. Now, all these pieces could be on a single operating system or multiple operating systems or multiple platforms. There's a lot of ways to configure the web app environment. On page 16, again, the HTTP server delivers web pages, and it also communicates with a web application server. The HTTP server listens for web requests on specific ports that you have configured. The web application server, if the HTTP server is serving more than just HTML, then it extends the HTTP server capabilities to serve dynamic requests to access the data and resources on the server. The web application is deployed, installed within a web application server, our web application today, iSeries Access for Web. On page 17, here are the web application server options for V5R3 iSeries Access for Web. Now, we just announced support that we are now supporting WAS version 6. And on our product website, I have that announcement information I mentioned earlier and which PTF is required in order to get WAS version 6 support. The first two items, WebSphere Portal, require V5R3 iSeries Access for Web. And the rest of the web application servers listed on this chart, actually, you can use V5R2 or V5R3 iSeries Access for Web. The WebSphere Application Server Express version 5.0 and 5.1 both come no charge with V5R3 i5OS, as Kevin mentioned earlier. We also have a no charge version available that iSeries Access for Web supports, the ASF Tomcat web application server as well. So there are several no charge options to get started. On page 18, performance, customers often ask about what is the effect on their server of iSeries Access for Web, how much resources does it use. And since we're just serving HTML on the browser, iSeries Access for Web, that product by itself, does not tax the system. It's basically the web application server that is levying the system requirements. So there's a couple of references here. The Workload Estimator is a great tool for looking at CPU and memory requirements, looking at response time estimates, being able to look at your current workloads and adding the web workloads. And then I also, in the last section, refer to the WAS Buying and Selling Guide. In addition to the fact that Chapter 3 has some information about performance tuning, this guide has a wealth of information about comparing the IBM web products and comparing the functions that are available. And I also, about performance tuning, Kevin Larson will be doing in week 8 of this series, he'll be doing the session on WebSphere performance tuning. So on chart number 19, step 2, install iSeries Access for Web on your server. Let's briefly look at page 20. You install the license program on the system. We just mentioned that it creates the libraries and objects and directories that are needed. And on the right, we talk about how it does not change any current HTTP server configurations or any web application servers currently running. On page 21, step number 3, verify, load, apply any additional PTFs that you need. I listed in a cumulative PTF package, WebSphere, ASF Tomcat. That is, if you're using the ASF Tomcat as your web application server, then take a look at the Tomcat PTFs that you may need. And iSeries Access for Web PTFs. If we look at page 22, this important URL at the top, this web address for WebSphere Application Server, set a bookmark to this URL. If you go to it and click on the PTFs link and then select your whatever release your server is at and your WebSphere version, you will see which group PTF is required for the WAS product that you are going to be using. It will also indicate which cumulative PTF package you need for your i5OS or OS 400. It will also indicate which group PTFs that it also includes, database group PTFs or HTTP server PTFs. If we go to page 23, so we need your WebSphere application server group PTF. Make sure you have the right CUME PTF level. Make sure the if you check out the HTTP server group PTF requirements and make sure that the group PTF for WAS is including that. And then iSeries Access for Web is not part of the group PTF for either HTTP server or the WebSphere application server. So I have the website with the technical information there, the Service Packs web page, where you get the latest PTF information. It has the PTF that's required for WAS version 6 support 2. And then check the cover letter for the PTF to make sure that there are whether there are any configuration changes that you need. On page 24, okay, again, steps 1 through 3 are an appendix in the lab, and then the lab starts on step number 4. So let's look at setting up the web serving environment. On page 25, this screenshot that I have here is actually from V5R2 system. On a V5R3 system, there will be an option that says IBM Web Administration for iSeries that I have listed at the top. So first, start your HTTP admin server, and then point your browser to this URL that we have listed here, your server name, :2001, to get at, and then select to get at the iSeries tasks, and then select IBM Web Administration for iSeries. Then we'll see what's on page 26. Here you use the wizards to create the web application server, and when you step through the wizards, it automatically creates the HTTP server as well. You'll notice the lab, if you get a chance to run through the lab steps, it has you click on the left where it says Create Application Server. That's where you will start for creating the WAS Express 5.1 server. On page 27, just some tips for you. The WAS Express 5.1, we name the subsystem that it runs in, so you can go look at the job running in that subsystem. And part of the lab has you go check this subsystem to make sure the job is up and running. And the IFS paths, I list them there because they're important. If you need to do problem determination, then you'll need to know those paths to find the logs. On page 28, step number 5, configure and start iSeries Access for Web. We look at page 29. The documentation, the place where you will start, is the iSeries Information Center. I have the address there, how you navigate to the iSeries Access for Web Information. It'll, in the Information Center, it will list the hardware and software requirements, and then it points to the website, the product website, that I have listed in the second bullet here, for specific documentation for each web application server that we support. So you get your requirements all determined on by the Information Center, and then you go and get step-by-step instructions out on our product website. On page 30, if you go to this URL that I have listed at the top, our product website, again, you start at the Information Center. That's the first entry in the table. And then for each web application server that we support, here's where you find the documentation. And here's where I will be adding the documentation for the WAS version 6 support over the next couple of days. Let's go to page 31. So, again, the lab handout talks about how the step-by-step instructions, and it has an appendix for hardware and software. It's all wrapped up into one piece of documentation for you to try these steps. On page 32, just a little bit about the commands to familiarize you with them and what their purpose is in getting the iSeries Access for Web configured. There are commands that we provide. The actual configuration is not done through the web administration interface. You use the commands. And let's go to chart number 33. Just show you an example and their purpose of what the commands are so that you become familiar with them. There are CL commands that are provided in the documentation. It takes you through which commands you use when. And there are also script commands that I have listed here on this page that are available for some of the WebSphere application server support. Those WAS servers became available after our CL commands were completed for a release. So then we can provide script commands in PTFs in order for you to configure more recent WAS versions. So script commands are used for the newer WAS versions. So if we go to page 34, just a quick overview, the QASE51 subsystem is up and running. So you have your WebSphere application server up and running. You enter the commands listed here. For the lab example I'm showing you, you're going to use a script command because that is needed for WAS Express version 5.1. So it has a command to get into the QShell environment, and what you need to do to use the configure command. And then the note in the last bullet, the application server must be restarted after you run the configure command. So the lab has the steps about restarting WAS Express and restarting the HTTP server. So page 35, step number 6, verify the installation and configuration. On page 36, we have the instructions for you if you want to look at the HTTP server to make sure it's up and running. The web application server, you can verify that that job is running and which, for each of the web application servers, which subsystem it runs in. We go to page 37, and if you go to your HTTP admin interface and click on Manage Installed Applications, you'll see iSeries Access for Web is listed as an installed application. We go to page 38. Now, here is actually where you're bringing up the product. You're going to see, you're going to open it up and see that you can get into iSeries Access for Web. So you open the browser to the address I have listed here with the server name, colon, the port number that you've used when you've configured this, gone through the configuration steps, web access, IWA home. Now, I wanted to point out that this URL is case sensitive, so be aware of that when you're entering this URL in your browser. And this is actually what the home page looks like. So if you see this screenshot that I have here on page 38, then you're in. It actually has on the right, if you'll notice, it has Rochester information on this homepage, and you wouldn't have users come into this homepage typically. We've provided this to show you that it's very easy for you to update the HTML and customize this homepage for your own purpose. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. On page 39, just a quick note, when things don't work, here is a checklist of things that you can look through to make sure that the configuration was done properly and look at what might be up and running and what you might need to investigate further. Similarly, on page 40, where to check for the log files for both iSeries Access for Web and the WebSphere application server. So if we move on to the next section now on page 41, we have looked at what the requirements are and how to install it and how to configure it. So what is it that's available in iSeries Access for Web? Why would you want to use it? We're going to take a look at the great, we have a lot of functions that we provide. How can you customize it for your users? And then a couple of screenshots in the time that we have left, taking a look at examples of some of the functions available. On page 42, we looked at in a couple of charts ago about the home page, how to open up your browser to iSeries Access for Web, and what the address is. And the URL that I've provided on this page is an actual URL to a demo iSeries server that you can sign on to and look at our iSeries Access for Web interface. I'm going to give you more information about that in this section. So you open the browser, key in the iSeries URL, and you get prompted for the OS400 user ID and password. Move on to page 43. We mentioned this is the home page and what it looks like, so let's move on to page 44. Here is, you notice the URL is main, IWA main on the end. So this is the main page, and you can see on the left some of the functions that we have available with iSeries Access for Web, print, messages, jobs, 5250 emulation, database, files, command, customize. On page 45, I give an overview of the kinds of functions that we provided, a lot of print capabilities, a lot of types of things that your end users might need to deal with in managing their printer output. Database, 5250. If you're looking at the online version of this presentation, you see that in red I have highlighted the new functions that are available in B5R3. On page 46, we provide all these great functions. So oftentimes, in a lot of our iSeries Access products, when we provide these great functions, administrators will ask us, how do I keep my users from accessing these functions? So I want to give you a couple of charts that talk about a good way to administer that. So we go to page 47, controlling access to iSeries resources. First of all, I want to make the point that I have the note on the bottom. If you set up object-level authority to your data on the iSeries, your users will not be able to access those objects through this interface, of course. So if you have object-level security, then you're all secure. They wouldn't be able to get at it from iSeries Access for Web. But here are the levels that we check with iSeries Access for Web when users attempt to access functions. First of all, we check the user profile authority. Then we check the group profile. And then there is a new group profile that we have provided with iSeries Access for Web called Star Public. And you can use it to set a default policy for all users on the system, so it includes all users. So let's look at page 48. So by default, users have access to a lot of function in iSeries Access for Web. Well, a quick strategy when you get iSeries Access for Web up and running, you might want to use Star Public to set the default so that users are denied access to functions, and then give specific groups of users access to certain things. So on this screenshot that I have on the right, I've clicked on the Customize tab on the left part of iSeries Access for Web, and then I clicked on Policies. So then here I have, it allows me to select which group profile that I want to set the policies for. An administrator sets policies. And so you can see that we have Star Public listed at the top, set the default policy for all users. So there's a note here that you need security administrator authority to set policies. And in V503 iSeries Access for Web, we enhanced it so that the security administrator can't get locked out. That's good. On page 49, policies again then. If I click on the Customize tab and I click on Policies on my screenshot there on the right, here's a list of all the categories of policies that you can set. So, again, perhaps you'd set Star Public to not allow access to the functions, then go into specific categories and allow them access. Maybe all you want your users to get at is a 5250 emulator screen and that's all, so you deny access to everything except 5250, for example. On page 50, preferences, whereas policies are what an administrator sets for the system, preferences, our intention is that end users can set their own preferences. An administrator might deny access so that a user cannot change their preferences, but these are the types of things like selecting which columns are going to be displayed on printer output lists and some of those types of things. So users have some control over their own preferences. So now, on page 51, more notes about customization. We've looked at how to control access to some of these resources and some of the functions on iSeries Access for Web. On page 52, the screenshot, that it's very small on the top right, that we looked at the default home or main page for iSeries Access for Web. The bottom shows a customized home page for a fictional application that we created called Access for Water. And we're going to take a look at how you might create your own home page. Maybe you have a page that a certain set of users use, how you might customize it for your own environment. So on page 53, here's our Access for Water application. If you get a chance to go to the demo iSeries server, this is the application, one of the applications that you'll see. So we've got a lot of things integrated in this. You can launch other web applications from here. Maybe you have a web-facing application that, a web-faced application that you can launch, a HATS limited edition emulator session that you're going to launch. On the left, we have work with invoices about halfway down, and that actually brings up a work with spool file type of a screen that shows invoices. In the middle, there you can actually click here to see this boat cruising the seas. It actually shows a video clip that's stored in the IFS on this demo server. So we're just showing maybe this is a company and these are the types of the things they want their users to see from their interface. If you look on the top left, on that left menu there where it says See Boat Details 5250, if I click on that, then I'm going to see what's shown on page 54. So this is our actual iSeries Access for Web 5250 interface, the default, what it looks like. The only thing that's been changed on this screen is the banner along the top. But other than that, this is the default, what the 5250 interface looks like out of the box, trying to get at the browser look and feel. There's a lot of options you can customize about 5250. You can even have it look like a green screen if you'd like, but this is the default. Now on page 55, so this, the iSeries Access for Web, I talked about iSeries Access for Water in this fictional application that we created. You can go try iSeries Access for Web on this demo server. It's in Dallas, Texas, and you can access it from around the world. You just need to send me an email. I have my email address on this page, and I will send you the user ID and password. The reason you need to ask me about it, and I didn't provide them here, is because it changes every 90 days, so I need to send you what the current one is, and what the URL is to get at the demo iSeries. And you can look at the default view, what iSeries Access for Web looks like out of the box. You can look at this sample application, Access for Water. And there's also a demo of what our new portlet support looks like with WebSphere Portal for iSeries. So now in this next section, we have a few minutes to look at some of the functions that are available. I have a couple of screenshots and some of the key functions. Can't look through all of it because you'll either get to look at that by trying using the lab to get the product up and running and look at it yourself on your server, or you can go look at some of these functions further and on the demo server. Page 56 starts the section on the 5250 emulator. Wanted to point out here that the 5250 emulation is the only function in iSeries Access for Web that requires the interactive feature. All other functions use the batch or batch tasks on the iSeries. So if we go to page 57 and see, now you could go straight to 5250. At the top of the screen, I have this URL. This is a way that you can get straight to the 5250 interface. Maybe you want to set up for your users that they just go straight to the 5250 sign-on screen, and you want to eliminate the left menu so all they see is iSeries Access for Web 5250 sign-on screen. You can do that. You can customize for your users. But this, if I go to IWA 5250 that we indicate here, the screenshot that I have with the sign-on screen is the default, what it looks like out of the box. In V5R3, we've added a function where you can avoid a second sign-on screen by using macros. So let's go to page 58. You know, just the default, we say even your OS 400 screens look better. It's not the green screen look. Users can sign on to this 5250 emulator and be able to run their applications from here. Page up, page down support, being able to assign unique device IDs, keypads, macros. We have a lot of capabilities in our 5250 emulator. On page 59, if I look on the left menu there on this screenshot and I take the 5250 tab and I go to Start Session, here you can see I can specify any iSeries in the network. The default would be whatever iSeries server I've specified in my URL path. I can specify the port, code page, specify a workstation ID, an initial macro. This is some new support that we've added. So let's go to page 60, being able to configure a session. Maybe as an administrator, you just want to set up shortcuts so that end users can only start sessions that you've already configured, and you don't want them to be able to configure their own. So an administrator might go in, configure a session like we have here, take the action, do it, and click on Create Shortcut that I have there in the Action column. Then I would go to the screenshot that you see on page 61, create a pre-configured session, give it a name, shortcut name, provide the user profiles there or group profiles of who has access to this shortcut. And in that manner, like I said, just provide a user the way to get in and start an emulation session and not copy or rename or edit their 5250 emulation sessions, a way to maintain control. A couple of things that are different with the 5250 emulators that are available in the browser, though, there are some things that there's not as much keyboard manipulation capabilities. The field exit key, for example, works differently or it doesn't work the same as what you have on your native 5250 emulators like PC5250 that's provided with iSeries Access for Windows. So there's not the amount of flexibility with the keyboard mapping and the keyboard manipulation that heads down data entry users are accustomed to. That's something that you'll want to take a look at if you are using or looking at this 5250 emulator. We don't recommend it for data entry personnel. You can still do field exit functions, for example. It just takes more keystrokes than what they're accustomed to on native emulators. So next we're going to look at, on page 62, a couple of functions in our print capabilities. On page 63, printer output. So I have a screenshot of what I take the print tab on the left of this screenshot. I click on printer output. So this shows printer output for the user profile, C minor. It's like a work spool file type screen. I have a list of my spool files there and what actions that I can perform on them. I can view PDF format of this printer output. If the InfoPrint server for iSeries product is installed on the system, we will use that product to convert this to this spool file to PDF format. If it's not available on the system, we use our own conversion utilities to convert the file to PDF format. Once you've converted it to PDF, you could mail it as an attachment to someone if you've configured that function in iSeries Access for Web, or you could save it to your PC or save it to IFS. Page 64 has PDF printer output, which is a new function that we've provided in B5R3 iSeries Access for Web. There's a new tab or a new option available on the print tab called PDF printer output. And briefly, what this is if you've set up PDF printers in PDF, setting up a PDF printer entails specifying a source output queue and a target output queue. And whenever you spool output to this source, it automatically converts it into PDF and stores it in the target output queue. So we have a way for you to set up and manage these PDF printers and the PDF printer output. So this will show all the output on PDF printers that I have access to, the user that's signed on. Now this, I mentioned on page number 64, this requires the InfoPrint server for iSeries product in order to use this function. On page 65, PDF printers, again, this requires the InfoPrint server for iSeries product. And, as I mentioned, you've got your PDF printers defined with a source and target output queue. So here I can view and manage my PDF printers, manage the authority to them, start and stop them. So the advantage of this support is, with regular printer output view, you can select the option to view as PDF, and it converts it at that time that you select View PDF. With the PDF printer support, if you want to work with your output in PDF format a lot, it converts it at the time that it's spooled, so it's already converted to PDF format. Next is chart page number 66. We'll take a look at a couple of more functions in the last few moments. Page 66 starts the database topic because we have a lot of great function in the database category. If you go to page 57, here we give a quick overview of the types of functions available with database, looking at tables, viewing contents, adding or updating records, running requests, running SQL. There are more functions than what you want to give your end users, so you will want to go set star public, perhaps to deny access to the functions or to only allow them to go to my requests. Let's look at page 68. So this screen capture shows if I'm on the database tab on the left and I take my requests, it shows the database requests that I can run here and which actions I can perform, run or copy. So you can deny access to these actions for your users or allow them actions. And you can customize this so that users only have access, they can only run requests that you have built for them, for example. On page 69, we'll show the upload data from, if you want to upload data from the PC to the server, we've got a wizard here to do that, copy data to table. You can see, specify the file name, the file type, so we have the common PC file formats listed there. Replace the contents of a table or append to existing tables. Page 70, run SQL. So I'm on the database tab, and I clicked on the option to run SQL. So here you can run SQL statements. If you know the syntax, just enter it right in the box there, SQL statement, copy-paste it in there, or run the wizard. So we have the option for SQL wizard, a button there. It steps you through step-by-step building a query. On page number 71, my folder is a function that we added in V5R2 iSeries Access for Web, V5R2 and later. It resides, if we go to page 72, these folders are something that are specific for iSeries Access for Web. It resides in the iSeries IFS. the administrator can control the size of them in starting in V5R3, but it's something that can be accessed by the owner. You can, each user profile has one, and it's a place for workflow management. A user could store PDF output in their folder. They could send PDF output to another user's folder. They can store results of database queries or command results, for example. They can send an email to notify someone that they've put something in their folder. So, page 73, we show if you have you selected a PDF output and there's a destination that you can provide. You can look at the PDF output in the browser, mail it to someone, or put it in the personal folder. This is the My Folder support that we're talking about. So then, page 74. We'll take a look at one more function and then look and then open it up for and then close up and open it up for questions. We'll look at the files support. On page 75, you can browse files in the IFS or look at file shares, your net server file shares. Typically, your end users are probably going to use one view or the other. On page 76, for example, you look on the Files tab on the left of that screen capture and you click on Browse Files. So this shows the default on this, I wanted to point out, is to look at the root directory. So an administrator will want to go in and set a policy for the user to set a default directory for specific users. And of course, object level security is enforced there, and they're only going to be able to see things they're authorized to on the iSeries. So with this file support, files in the directory, you can copy files, rename them, delete them, mail them to someone, or work with them. And then on chart 77, we have a new function in V5R3 to be able to zip and unzip files in the IFS. Again, that's just looking at the IFS functions. There's also being able to view net server shares, and you can use zip and unzip with your net server file shares. I'm going to go to, there's a couple of other charts. I'm going to go to the end now. We show you a couple charts of what working with messages looks like. There's also working with jobs in iSeries Access for Web. There is something new that we provided in V5R3 in order to download. It's called Download on the tab, where you can download software products. And we've provided a couple default ones when you install V5R3 iSeries Access for Web. So there are other functions you'll want to take a look at in the product. So if we go to page, I'm now going to the summary on page 83. In this section on page 84, who will benefit from iSeries Access for Web? We looked at the benefits of reducing client administration. It runs entirely on the server. You can get at it from any browser. Simple installation and configuration. Do it once on your server, and then you're all set. And then you can use your iSeries user profiles to control access for your end users. So on page 85, need help, have a question. First of all, you have access, you have the lab. You have my email address that's on the front of the charts for this presentation. If your business, you can work with your business partner on your WebSphere needs. Your business partner can use this service, this offering, the IBM Virtual Innovation Center, to get help, assistance with that WebSphere on iSeries. I'll mention to you all the software defect-related support would still be going through support line, as always. So with that, I want to turn it back over to Tracy. I appreciate your joining us today, and we're going to follow up with a survey and some questions.
Thank you. Before we do get to your questions today, we'd like to conduct a brief electronic survey. To participate in today's survey, please press the star key followed by the number on your telephone that corresponds to your choice. So on a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Linda's chat? For very valuable, press star 1. For valuable, press star 2. For somewhat valuable, press star 3. Or for of no value, press star 4. Thank you. That does conclude today's survey. Thank you for your participation. We'll now move on to taking your questions. If you do have a question at this time, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Once again, just press star 1 if you do have any questions at this time. As a final reminder, please press star 1 if you do have any questions. And Ms. Hirsch, it appears we have no questions at this time. I'll turn it back to you for any closing comments.
Okay. I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and I'd like to encourage you to join next week for week 4 of the Getting Started with WebSphere series. Week 4 is Allison Butterill from IBM Toronto on the IBM web-facing tool. Thanks again.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you, everyone, for joining.